Jesus' question to his disciples was, "Who do you say that I am?" I want to switch that around a little bit and ask the question, "Who do I say that I am?" And have each one of us individually and as a congregation try to answer that. Please pray with me. Living God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So think about the name that your parents gave you, and think about the meaning of your name if you know it. I cheated and went online. I looked at my name, Jeffrey. It's of old German origin. I didn't know that. It refers to peace, and there are 24 variant forms of that name. I won't go through them. My last name, Chaffetz, is from the Hebrew Chaffetz, which comes from an ornamental name from Hebrew meaning delight or pleasure. I had forgotten that. I once knew that. And it comes from Belarus and Lithuania. My father's family was from Lithuania. So it's interesting to look at one's name and the meaning, if one can find it, and the background of one's name that has been given to you, that you've inherited. In the ancient Near East, names were given as clues to one's character, identity, purpose, nature. Adam is told to name the animals, and therefore he gives them a place in creation. He names Eve as well. In that world, knowing another person's or thing's name, in a sense, gives one power over that person, gives one access somehow to the inner being. And so in the old understanding, Adam giving Eve her name gave Adam power over her. Remember the story of Israel, rather Jacob, wrestling with the angel or God or the personification of his own fears by the Jabbok River and demanding to know the angel's name, and the angel refuses to tell him because he doesn't want to give Jacob power over him. Instead, the angel turns the tables and gives Jacob a new name, Israel, he who strives with God. El is the old name for God, E-L. And perhaps Jesus tells his disciples not to tell other people about him after Peter says, "You are the Messiah," because he doesn't want people to get the wrong impression about who Jesus is and what he came to do. The popular conception of Messiah was that of warrior king, liberator from the Roman Empire. Jesus knew that. And that's why he said, "Don't tell anybody about me." Instead, he goes into a description of who he is. He tells them about what will happen to him. And they don't like it. The name Abram means exalted ancestor or father. It was given to him by his parents. The name Abraham means ancestor of a multitude, father of many nations, a name given to him by God in the midst of a theophany, of appearance of God. The name Sarai, my princess. Sarah, princess. Not much of a change there. The name El Shaddai means God Almighty, or God the One of the Mountains. Kind of gives you a sense of a transcendent, holy, other God who has great power. The name we translate Lord is from the Hebrew letters YHWH, which we say Yahweh. Jews, Orthodox Jews, never say that name. It's too holy. But it's probably derived from the Hebrew verb to be, and probably means I am who I am, or I will be who I will be. This is the God of the burning bush who appears to Moses. This is the liberator God who takes God's people, led by Moses, out of slavery, out of indentured servitude, to Pharaoh through the desert toward the promised land. God has many names, in the Bible. I think they're there because there are many attributes of God. God cannot finally be pinned down, delimited, defined, put in a box. God is beyond all the names we give God. Now, you may not like your name, or you may like your name. Some of us don't like our names, and we use middle names or nicknames, or we change our names. Some people change their names because they want a different way of referring to themselves. And along the way, others have named you as well, and they will name you. They give you nicknames. Remember in grade school, those nicknames you picked up, especially the ones you hated, that made fun of your name, or picked out by people just to put you down? Remember that? Some names hurt. Racial epithets hurt. Nicknames, variants of our names. Others help. Others are affectionate, supportive. They're meant to give us support. People love us and they give us little names. They give us attributes that are meant to build us up. But we also name ourselves in other ways. Let's broaden the idea of naming. We use adjectives and nouns to name ourselves, consciously or not. Names like smart or dumb or intelligent or good-looking or crazy or handsome or attractive or capable. Names like average or inclusive or incisive or good listener or clueless. None of you ever call yourselves that, I'm sure. I think I'm sure. Serious, playful, inventive, dependable.
Rational.
Swedenborgian. Christian, other names. Now think about the names you give to yourself when you wake up in the morning. It may depend on what dreams you had or what you carry over from the previous day or just what you wake up with. Think of those images and what you tell yourself when you first wake up. We tend to name ourselves right off the bat. That can put a cast on the whole day that's positive or negative. And what do you tell yourself during the day? What are the names you call yourself in the solitude of your heart, for example, when you literally fail, like a test of some kind, a written test or something else? Or when you literally succeed, when you finish a project or you do something really well. What do you say to yourself when you forget and you tell out there something a friend told you in confidence? Oh, I'll never tell. And then you tell. How about when you cut somebody else off in traffic, you're driving, you're really in a hurry, you cut somebody else off and you go, wait a minute. That's not me. That's really not me. I didn't mean to do that. I shouldn't have done it. I feel bad about it. Or when you think of a past relationship that just didn't work out and your part in that, what kinds of things do you tell yourself? And I don't know, maybe this is the most important. What name do you call yourself before you retire for the evening, before you go to sleep? Perhaps we look back and think about what we've done and not done. And out of that comes a name. When we drive or walk, whatever we look at is what we tend to aim for. That's why it's a bad idea while crossing the Golden Gate Bridge to look at the sunset for too long. You look there, you're going to go there. This is true in terms of goals we set ourselves. It's true in terms of a purpose of my life. Where am I going? That's where I tend to go. It's also true that we become like the God we worship. which means we need to watch, be aware of our images of God, about what kind of God, what is this God like? The mental images of God that we carry around can be debilitating or they can be energizing, they can open us up. And so we come back to Jesus' surprising words to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Because Peter negated what Jesus believed about himself. "Oh no, Jesus, you don't really mean that you're going to suffer and die and all that stuff. Come on, that's too painful. Don't, you can't go there." And Jesus says, "Get behind me." Because Jesus had in himself a deep wisdom about his name, about his what was so important to him, about his purpose in life, and that's where he was going to go, and Peter was not helping at that moment. Peter was thinking, "You got to drive the Romans out. You have to free us. You have to be the warrior king like, let's see, David, Solomon, the other great kings." And Jesus knew that that wasn't who he was. Peter couldn't handle Jesus' self-definition. Because if you're a student, you become like your teacher. And Jesus was saying, "This is the way the teacher is going." And Peter was saying, "Oh, I don't want to go there. It sounds dark. It sounds dangerous. It sounds self-giving. It sounds not victorious at all. Not happy at all." He misses the words at the end where Jesus says, "And I will rise again." That doesn't figure. That's too far down the line. So we may, as we look at ourselves, find that besides that deep wisdom we each have about who we are and what our purpose is and what we're really good at and what we really enjoy and the pace of life that really fits us, another rebel voice out here is saying, no. I don't like that. That's not good enough. That's not important enough. Whatever it says. It tries to drag us off what we know to be true. Because this voice over here knows that this requires discipline. It requires sacrifice. It requires paying attention. It requires staying awake spiritually. "Oh, no, that's too hard. Oh, no. Why don't you just do this? Why don't you fill in the blank?" Think about the professed nature of this very country. The names or values or identity or sense of purpose that we've inherited. No long, I'm third generation, no matter how long our family has been here, first generation, second, tenth, whatever. This is what the first article of the Virginia Declaration of Rights, June 12, 1776. "That all men are by nature equally free and independent and have certain inherent rights, of which, when they enter into a state of society, they cannot by any compact deprive or divest their posterity, namely the enjoyment of life and liberty with the means of acquiring and possessing property and pursuing and obtaining happiness and safety." That sound familiar? We pursue life, liberty, and happiness. How about the Declaration of Independence? "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men," we would say, "and women, are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Think about those words and what our country has been through in the last decade. Think about the greed we see around us. Think about the wars we fight and why. Think about where we've gone. Maybe some of you think we've gone astray. Maybe some of you think it's okay. The terms of policies and values. But how have we remained constant to those names, those values? And how have we strayed? Emma Lazarus, right? The words on the Statue of Liberty. "Give me your tired, your poor." This is just part of what she writes. your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Oof. It's like my ancestors were wretched refuse. Well, give me a break. But the Spirit was there. Y'all come. This is a good place to be. Here you find freedom. Here you breathe the air of liberty. It wasn't meant for all people. We know that. But the high value, the heights that were aimed for are there. Each of us probably has a story about a racial minority or an ethnic minority that has not experienced that, that sense of liberty and freedom and being one with all the rights thereof of this great country. So there's the golden door, she said, and right beside it is our another value that we hold somewhere within us, the value of keeping people away, of dehumanizing people, of shutting the door. In some quarters today, the language of dehumanization is savage, especially toward those of brown skin from south of the border. We have forgotten that this is a place where people find freedom. And people come here from Europe and Asia and South America and everywhere because there's a promise of something more here. And we come and we get ours and we shut the door. That's the opposite impulse. Well, so what will we call ourselves that helps us reflect the nature of God's love? What are those names that open us up, that help us breathe, that help us say yes, that help us have open arms to ourselves as well as the neighbor? See, the adjectives and nouns and names that we use shape us for good or for evil. Which ones will we use? It's up to us. We have the power of Adam to name. Ultimately, that's the power of God. Perhaps that's one way in which we are like God. We have the power to name ourselves. How do each one of us name ourselves? And since this is an interim time, I'm going to ask that kind of question of this congregation. How is this congregation going to name parts of itself as we go through a time of self-examination, of reforming of values and vision and mission and purpose? For example, when it comes to money, it's our favorite topic here. Not really. Are we going to continue to be overly polite and awkward about it, or are we going to be forthright and talk about it? It's a valuable resource. There's no reason to be awkward about it. Will we end up tradition-bound because it's comfortable to be that? We've always done that. Or will we be faithful to whatever core values we decide are ours and be willing to experiment based on those core values? Will we be willing to experiment, to be creative? We're going to think about a staffing design for this church that supports whatever mission and purpose this church decides it has from God. Will we be innovated or remain stuck in old ways? And old ways to try to get, for many churches, to try to get, oh yeah, I remember that charismatic person from way back. If we just get him or her back, things will be good. That's remaining stuck. So you can see where I'm going with all this. I'm encouraging us to consciously choose the nouns, the adjectives, the names that we give ourselves, that we give others. Because it's so formative. I remember a couple nicknames, I'm not going to tell you what they are, from elementary school that I almost buried because they were destructive to me. You know, the good news of the Lord in my life has changed the names gradually, slowly, over the years that I've called myself. It's hard work. So if you are struggling with the names that you have been given or have taken on, and they drag you down, the journey is to replace those with the names that God wants you to have, that give you life, that give you happiness, that give you liberty inside, that you can share with others. I think that's one way in which we can begin to incarnate, live out in flesh and blood, the reasons why God created us in the first place. As individuals, as families, as communities of faith. Let us pray. Oh God, we know that names are important. Your Son, Jesus, the Lord, knew that names people gave Him were important. Let us begin with Your help to name ourselves in the way of light, of freedom, of affirmation, that we may become more of who You created us to be, children of God. Amen.